Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
Whatever, but I was like, I had like a list. I wanted to work on these jokes and do all these things, and I was.
But
like,
just you got up on stage, and Amelia was just like, I can't
like,
do it.
I can't do it. I definitely, I was like,
dude.
I can't
and
do
people
this.
Forget that we perform all the time. Like you, it's. I guess we just do it so much that we're just like, okay, you got to bring it every night. But you forget that it kind of takes something a little extra to push
Listen,
yourself.
If you have an office job and you're not feeling it, you know what you go? You sit in your cubicle. You go, hey, can you give me 5 minutes? Or you just, you know, you don't do the report.
Or you just don't do it that day. I'm sure there's a lot of office people. I'm hearing, I have buddies that listen to the podcast, and sometimes like, your podcast got me through the day. I'm like, did it get through your day, or was that what your day was? Like,
right.
Who knows?
Well, that's exactly what I'm saying. There's no luxury of that. You can't cash it in on stage because people know.
Yeah, and when one thing I talked to Adam about is being in Montreal is I went and we saw a bunch of shows, and you got to sit in the audience and be like, oh, right, this is what it's like to be like an audience member.
Oh, right.
To see it from that perspective and go, damn, because as an audience member, I don't care what the comedian went through that day.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah, you don't care what the fuck is going on, if they just broke up the girlfriend or if this is their ninth show today or whatever.
Dude, I remember I was talking to this chick and we were having like a little fight. I remember I was at the HaHa and she texted me, don't ever call me again. And this is what was happening. Eric Griffin. So I was like, I had to go on stage like,
was this a girl that you?
Yeah, I kind of liked her.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. What I'm
still
saying
to
is,
get that before you go
that
up.
Moment, sure. Like literally, I shouldn't have been. But that was my fault. You don't text in that situation. It's like texting and driving. You don't text in like.
I've just figured that out in the past year. Don't text anybody like anything important that you might get a response from like right before you get up.
Done. Lesson learned.
Yeah, exactly. And I was just talking about being a diehard Broncos fan when I walked in here. The game against the Baltimore Ravens in the playoffs. If people remember that game, they remember that Baltimore Ravens tied the game with on the last play on a Hail Mary from Joe Flacco from like his 30-yard line. Literally, I am watching the game as the feature's on stage. The Hail Mary goes.
It's in the air.
As it's in the air, I hear,
you've seen him on Monument City.
Yeah, Monument City. I was like, no, not now. And then sure enough, the guy catches it. Touchdown, Ravens. We're going to overtime.
Oh,
motherfucker!
Fuck. Yeah.
Please welcome to stage, Brad Williams. You just like walk on stage,
but
like,
you brought it, right? I mean,
well,
no, dude. Be honest. The first few minutes, you were completely just shaking.
It's sports stunned. It's that sports coma where you're
I would
just
have
like,
talked about that.
Oh, I couldn't. I knew
it's an energy dropper, though, isn't it?
That's what I kind of do. I kind of like to my
just drop the energy, dig a big hole.
Well, not really. Just to my credit, to my detriment, I talk about whatever I'm feeling.
It's great though.
I know, but
makes you
sometimes like.
But see, you're good at it.
Did you talk now that night at the HaHa? Did you talk about the text that you got? Right?
No. It was too like. I was just like, I didn't want to share that with these people.
Don't you feel like though you have to?
But sometimes, because I remember I was in Tahoe.
What do you mean these people at the HaHa?
You know exactly what I mean.
I do.
Mexicans.
Yeah.
What?
Well, I didn't even mean that. But
okay.
But that's now that I think about it, that's an extra.
Yeah.
No, but I remember I was doing Tahoe, and this booker, he's a dickhead. Okay, I wish I remembered his name so I could say it publicly. But he was just like, it was some gig up in a casino in Tahoe.
The Improv, was it?
No.
Okay.
This was some like side gig.
All right.
Side gig. And like if you're doing like Tommy T's, not Tommy T's, what's up in that area that's close by?
Catch
there?
A Rising Star,
Tommy T's,
Reno, the Harleys.
Pleasanton, Mark Ridley's. Or not Tahoe. Marley's, what's that one night?
But something that's more like Sacramento area, like if you're doing anyway, I'm doing the club, and they said you come the day before. Anyway, so we do the show, and then, like, he says clearly, like, can we be clean, you know? Mm-hmm. And then, like, he has guest sets, and these guests, the guest set person goes up and says pussy a number of times and fuck, whatever.
Yeah.
So then he calls me, and he's like, hey, can we, you know, like asking me if I could be more dirty or something.
To now match it?
Yeah, something like that. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? I was, like, so mad at this dude. I was like, dude, you just told me what you did, you know.
Yeah, and
so
now,
he,
but...
Yeah, but he said, no, he was like, can we not use the F word so much? That's what he said. He said, but that's what he was, that's what it was. He was like, don't use the, can you not use the, I said, I did, first of all, you told me, no, you know what the problem was? He asked me if I could do a dirty show. That was his question.
Oh, the initial.
Question was, can you do a dirty show?
Wow.
So then his guest sets go up and make it super dirty.
Right.
Then he says to me, can we cut down on the
F-word?
Scale
it back. They've used all the F-bombs that
I was
we can
so
allow
mad
in
at this
Sacramento.
Dude. So then when I went on stage that night at the show, I was like, well, I started talking about other things. I was like, you know, we're not supposed to use the F-word, so let's talk about buttholes, you know? I just went like, because even, and I was explaining like, now how stupid... This is how I was talking on stage. Now, how stupid is this, right? What I'm saying right now, you know? And the guy's pacing in the back. He's furious with me.
Wow.
Because I'm killing, though. I'm just killing talking about him because his people that know him are there. They know how neurotic he is. So I'm talking about him and going on, well, this motherfucker.
How much time did you do on buttholes, by the way?
This motherfucker leaves without paying me.
Oh, shit.
Whoa!
You know? But I eventually got the money. But it was like, what I'm saying is, that's an example of like, that's what was happening, and I went and was like, okay, I'm going to go talk about this right now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, well, see, that seems like the appropriate thing, that you have a lot of passion,
maybe,
energy
maybe
towards.
Maybe not.
No, but a girl that texts you, like, I don't want to see you again, Eric Griffin, or your fucking butthole chatter.
Yeah.
And then you're like,
I know.
And then.
Eric Griffin.
Yeah. And you get, but you can't pass, because you're going to honestly
and
open.
Now, keynote speaker.
But then, like, people, you're just going to be like, man, this girl texts me, never wants to see me again. And immediately people are going to, like, maybe feel bad for you, but also be like, oh, shit. Is that, like.
No, but
is
here's that, the thing.
But I guess you wouldn't be able to spin
no.
Funny, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, I know that when I'm angry. And I'm talking about this stuff on stage. The way I talk about things passionately, people laugh at me.
Yeah.
So that's why I've always known that it doesn't matter. That's why it works for me. It doesn't work for everybody. Some people are just like, ugh, this is a real shit that's happening right now. Or the way I just do it. I just knew that when I used to coach basketball.
You coach basketball?
Yeah, I used to coach basketball at a high school. Oh, I coached like grammar school, middle school, high school. Park leagues, but I just remember at the high school, the things I would say.
Were you like Coach Carter?
Oh, yeah. I was.
You love that movie? When those movies came out with all the coaches, you cry. You think about the kids you coached.
But I was
the worst. The kid with one leg.
Oh. You know, I was the worst in terms of like.
Coach.
Oh, no, I was a good coach. I won like 10 championships.
There you go. Did you really?
Yeah. But it was like.
I guess there's just no point to bring that up in conversation, but I would lead with that, dude.
Yeah.
That's a great stat.
Eric Griffin, I used to coach youth basketball, 10-time championship ring. Phil Jackson, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, one thing I learned from coaching at a high school level, especially, is. You know, it's an elitist system.
Yeah.
Like, sports is pure. Sports is the purest thing in America, okay?
Sure.
Because there's no, like, there's no nepotism in sports.
Right.
It's the best make it, and we appreciate the best, regardless of race, color, creed, whatever. So I learned in coaching kids. Now, people have this idea that it's like, everybody should have a chance. And I go, no, they shouldn't. No, they shouldn't.
Thank you, Eric
Griffin.
If the
kids try out for the team, and if I put them on the team, they think they deserve to play.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I.
So you weren't giving out any handouts. Any
I know, but I learned this because kids came to me later and were like, Coach, why'd you put me on the team when they were older? And I was like, well, you know, and he was like, yeah, when you put me on a team, I wanted to play because I thought I was worth it. I was like, and never did that again. I've had so many experiences like that. I remember this one kid, like, I had some kids, like, get bad grades so they couldn't play anymore, right? And then, like, two or three kids fouled out. It was an overtime game. I had to put this bench warmer in, you know? And he was sucking a bag of
so
dicks.
Bad, yeah.
Okay?
And everyone's like, why? We have 9 spots.
But,
you couldn't find another
but
kid?
But after the game, he was crying, you know? He was like, I lost it for us. And in my mind, I'm like, you fucking did lose it for us.
You know,
so little bastard.
8 for 25 from the foul line,
but
you dog sucker.
But you know what? I thought to myself, he should not have been in that situation.
No.
Sure.
You know? Because people just think it's all about, you know, just the joy of being. No.
Dude, it's competitive at that
it's
age.
It's competitive. And,
right.
And so I was the kind of coach that if I said great job, you know I meant it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't
and if
just,
you didn't say great
if
job.
If I didn't
you
say
meant
great job,
shit.
Exactly.
Step your game up, kid.
And then that became like a form of motivation for them to like want to get my approval.
Sure.
Yeah. And so I knew that, and I just gave it out really like seldomly. You know, that was just my style. But
it's smart that you did that because
I got the best out of the kids.
Totally. Yeah. Like all my youth basketball playing days, I was a fat kid, right? But I was quick fat. And so if they had judged me upon initial look.
We talked about this.
No, hold on a second.
At length, his quick fat.
There's no fucking thing as quick fat.
What?
Vince Wilfork from the New England Patriots? That's quick fat.
If you're racing against, like, what, retarded girls?
We only played them twice, but I had 40 points each game. No, jeez. Dude, I had a Glenn Rice three-point shot. I had a Hakeem Olajuwon spin moves because I would play every.
Here we go.
Eric, I'm going to pull up the video. You're forcing me now to go home to Seattle.
There's video? There's video.
Oh yeah, dude.
What do you think he spanks it to every night?
First of all,
video of the retarded YMCA girls.
Right.
This says more about the leagues you were playing in than it does about your skills.
Fuck that shit. Oh yeah, really?
Seattle
when Mario Lemieux came back into the NHL at like 45 or whatever it was?
Right.
It didn't say anything about him. It just said how garbage the NHL was at the time.
Let me tell you something, Eric.
Oh, here we go.
The fact that whatever race you are just dropped hockey knowledge, I'm impressed.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, what are you, by the way?
Let's not talk. Does it matter?
Yes. Yeah. Everyone who sits down at this podcast, we say, what are you?
Yeah. So people listening can be like, well, he can't say that.
Hey, Michael Yo,
am I, Riley now from the fucking...
It took us 20 minutes to figure out if Michael Yo was black or Asian.
Yeah. Turns out both.
God. Turns out both.
And hacky. No, I'm kidding. Stop it. Oh.
Here we go.
It's a joke. Come on.
For those who don't know who Eric Griffin is, Eric Griffin Montez.
Please edit that out.
Montez from Workaholics, insanely popular show.
Wait, have we started the podcast?
Oh, yeah. We've been going for the last like 15 minutes.
I thought this was
minutes.
All sound check.
Oh, no.
You know, dude, we usually do start it like with it, but I feel like it's too slow that way. Yeah. Like, we just start talking like that, and I just hit record. And
we'll get back to your quick fat another time.
Eric, championship game, we played an all-black team. Had never played an all-black team.
Right. This sounds like the plot of Coach Carter.
Yeah.
One man could bring white Seattle kids who had quick fat.
Oh, dude.
To go.
Fat is actually the name of the
movie. A great title. Yeah, of course. Yeah. See, now you're on board.
Because you can get like a bunch of sequels. Quick Fat 7. Wait, Retaliation.
No, but what's Quick Fat 2 called? Quick Fat 2 and then what's in parentheses?
No, it'd be Quick Fat 2.
Quick Fat 2.
Back in the saddle.
It's Quick Fat 2, Chunky Boogaloo. Yeah.
There you go.
That sounds like something you pay a dwarf to do to you in Vegas.
The Chunky Boogaloo?
He's right here.
Hey, Dennis Hoff at the Bunny Ranch, I'll take two of your finest whores. And
How much for
the Chunky Boogaloo? Well.
Well, glad you asked, Bradley.
Let me tell you.
Wait, no. So I score like 27 points. No joke. Okay. Hitting threes, mm-hmm. banking fucking turnaround jumpers. That's the video I have of. As I'm running down court, and I've said this on the podcast before, one of the dads on the all-black team goes, "Man, that fat motherfucker's killing us." If that's not a compliment, Eric Griffin.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
For some reason, when a black guy calls you motherfucker, it's like, all right, I earned that shit.
Also, I knew what he was saying. He was like, yeah, dude, he's banking
in
threes.
You know what? Those are great. You know, I have a moment like that, too. I remember when I was in high school, it was tough for me in high school because like everybody was always getting on me.
Were you a funny kid in high school?
Yeah, I was a funny kid.
So you're funny from the get-go.
Gangly, you know. Mm-hmm. I was like way skinnier.
What would you do to make people laugh?
I just me, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just like I was saying when I was coaching, I the kids hated me because like the things I would say on the sideline, but the crowd would be laughing and I never noticed. Because
you were so animated,
you know.
Dude.
But I would
like that fat motherfucker's killing us.
But I would say things like, "Are you guys point shaving?" You know, like.
To 7-year-olds, dude. That's
oh my
junior
God.
High kids. What junior high mafia is going on that you guys are giving
dude,
points?
You should, yo, oh, that's hilarious. How bad do you want to play a basketball coach in a movie or TV show?
Oh, it would be great. It would be awesome.
Yo,
I really
that's hilarious because you were being serious, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I was being serious.
Would you get angry at the parents for laughing at you?
No. I wouldn't even notice. I zoned everything out. It would just be me and the kids. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's just like I didn't know how. Like I'm a real animated person anyway, so it's like I know I can get into that rhythm of like.
You've got one of
those coach like Pacino rhythms in that
Any given Sunday.
Any given Sunday. I've given speeches like that.
Inch
you know,
by
to
inch.
Kids, you know, I'd be like,
game of inches.
Like if they were like fucking around in a half, I would come into the locker room, but I'd be like, if they score 10 points. it would be
children.
Like, if they score 10 points, you're going to be running your ass is off. You know, it just.
By the way, you can't see, but Eric Griffin has no doubt the most expressive face comedy. Yeah. It's unreal, dude.
Yeah, I'm very expressive. So
yeah, but it's unreal. But it's you keep it contained, though, man.
But with comedy and then, like, but just in life, it's like there. Like, something I've always had is that I cannot disguise how I'm feeling.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I just don't.
Yeah, but it's great, man, because all you need an emotional connection to what you're talking about, right, in comedy?
Yeah, for sure. And,
it's great that if it's coming across your face like that.
But I think that, I just think that, like, being a coach and, like, talking to the kids like that, it's a form of acting because maybe you feel that way, but there's certain things you have to say to them.
Oh, you're playing a part. Yeah.
You're playing a part.
You're putting
I was coaching the JV team, and there was these two kids who really thought they belonged on the varsity. You know, okay. They just thought they were the
what
shit.
What were their names? Where are they right now?
I don't even know what they're doing.
Look them
right
up on Facebook ain't good, bitch.
No, but they really thought they were the shit. You know, so I remember what I did. I went to the coach's office, and I got this magazine called California's. It was called California Basketball.
I got this magazine. It was called Chunky Boogaloo. I rubbed one out, and then I went back to practice.
It was called California Basketball, and I turned to the section for sophomores, and I said, well, here's the sophomore top 10 sophomores in the state of California, and I'm looking on the list, and I go,
show them their stats.
And I go, I know, I say to them, you know what? None of these kids are on JV. So,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You're not there yet.
Yeah.
So get on the baseline. And let's start some sprints.
You did from what age to what was the lowest?
Well, I started at the lowest was like grammar school, which was like, you know, eighth graders,
okay,
sixth, seventh, and eighth graders.
So still not as
school,
not egos really coming.
Oh, they were the worst. Like, I remember, but see, I tell you what, I learned the difference between coaching girls and coaching boys. It was very different.
Oh,
like with boys, you could tell boys, like, your mama should have never had you, you piece of shit. You can't play defense. You know what I mean?
You can say that to him.
You can say that to a boy, yeah. But a girl.
You can shower with him. It's not a problem.
But a girl, if you say, no, that's, well, obviously it is a problem.
I was hoping somebody was going to comment. You guys were both getting ready to brush over that.
No.
Well, you know, we just come to expect that from a guy wearing a pink collared shirt.
By the way,
with Quick Fat.
Yeah.
Guess what? Quick Fat 3, Sandusky.
God.
Oh, my God.
But, like, a girl, you can't tell. Like, you tell a girl to shut up.
Yeah.
And she'll hold a grudge for the rest of her life.
She'll also cry, right?
Yeah. Like, here's how you get to girls. You just say, I swear to you. I'm not even making jokes right now. But if you say to a girl, like.
Please don't. This is a comedy podcast.
I'm like, you say something like, you're really disappointing me right now.
Yeah, that's the worst.
And they're just like. Because
they hear their dad.
This one girl, she started to cry. And she went, like, really. She was doing this exercise. Because I coached. In grammar school, I coached sports. I shouldn't even have been coaching. I was coaching volleyball.
Oh, my God.
Curling.
Dude,
you're
like,
the Eric.
Because it was like, I was like, they were like, coach, just go coach everything.
Eric,
go
Eric, you're the Air Bud of comedy.
Air Bud coaching?
Coaching.
Yeah.
But I remember, like, I refuse to coach girls basketball ever again because it's a contact sport, okay?
Oh, yeah. Those chicks are like grabbing tits and like elbows and everything.
After the game, they're in a line shaking hands, you know? And my girls are slapping their hands, like, and they're going like this. Bitch, 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 bitch. So I was like, okay, I'm done. Bitch. I was like, I'm done. You guys get over here. And then I had to get on them. And I remember, like, volleyball. Oh, God, it was the championship game of the league. And then this girl, oh, God. She's actually became a porn star, by the way. Her name
isn't that great when you find that out?
Yeah,
there's a girl I went to eighth grade with.
Well, no,
biggest boobs on the planet.
No,
porn
star
now.
I was the coach, and her name was Francine. Her porn name is actually Francine D.
I know her.
I used to coach her.
Are you serious?
Oh, no shit.
What?
Yeah.
I don't know her, but I know of her.
You've masturbated her.
Exactly.
Side story is I was in a bar in downtown with some buddies. This is years ago. And we're just chilling and chilling. And then we see some girls walk in and they're all tits. And we're just looking at them like, damn. And then one of the girls goes, Coach Eric? And I was like, oh, shit. And everybody was looking at me like, coach, huh?
Oh, they didn't know your history.
I'm like, no, she didn't look like those titties aren't. She just put those in.
How much practice did you have with those titties?
But
coach?
That particular girl, she like, we're so it's the volleyball. You know, I'm yelling at them. I'm trying to get them to play. And then like it was. I remember. It's like they did something they're not supposed to do. It's like you're not supposed to like when the ball in volleyball. If the ball's coming at you, you go for it. Your teammate calls if it's going to be out or not.
Yeah.
Like, you don't turn and say out, but you let someone else do that.
Yep.
Well, for the point game, she says out, and it bounces right in bounds, and then I'm about to explode, and I look on the court, and all of the girls were crying. Right. And it was just one of those moments where I was like,
dude,
in my mind, I was like, you bitches better cry.
But do it again. Out, you're playing the part of coach and
not just that you're a mentor. You're
a
friend.
Human being. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, so it was like,
because guess what? That it, they feel bad. That's what you could sense.
Yeah, they but remember if, this stuff. You know, the funny thing. That's her.
There's Francine.
You coached her in volleyball.
Yeah, the funny thing and basketball and all that shit. The funny thing about like you know.
What about
how
your coaching styling drove her to porn, by the way? Let's get to the bottom of that.
I always say it's my fault.
Hey, you know what? When you said, really? Hey, get that rebound, you dirty slut. She took that to heart, man.
But this funny thing is I remember
you. No one digs balls like you, Francine.
Oh, okay, wow. Maybe I think you I should. Know.
Digging balls, huh?
Okay. Do you have a few more? Do you want to?
Hey, man. You can probably
wait,
go.
Should I wait?
Yeah. we'll wait. We'll bring one back. Brad, can you get one more in?
Let's see. Oh, man. I don't know.
So when you're on the spot.
Yeah,
huh?
Exactly. It's tough. We got free flowing.
Well, use both fingers when you put them in your pussy, you dirty porn star. Yeah. Yeah, right?
Wow.
I think, didn't you say that on the pod?
Yeah. A few times.
And they were like, what? Are we at practice?
Like, what's going on here?
That was oddly specific.
But I used to yell at her all the time. She would quit the team all the time. Like, we would just have little, she was like, I quit! And she would just leave, you know.
Whoa.
And I'd have to go over to Francine, come back on the team, I'm sorry, you know, that kind of thing, you know. Because all the other girls would be like, we need her, coach, you know. They were just like, ugh. It was tough, you know. It's like, I don't know.
But now, out of any of that coaching experience, like, what, like, were you, did you have a mindset of like, oh, comedy might be something I'm going to do at that point, or no?
Yeah, because it would, like I'm saying, it's like, well, one of the reasons that I wanted to get into comedy was one of the kids died. And I had to do the eulogy at the funeral.
Wow. You know?
And it was like a packed church.
One kid's a porn star, another kid dies. You have a flawless record at coaching.
I'm telling you, Quick Fat is writing itself right now.
This is the
you can play the coach, man. I'm not joking.
Based on true events.
Hey, dude.
Yeah, right?
So I remember, oh, God, it was the worst. So, like, you know, he was survived by his great grandmother, you know. He was in a go-kart and got hit by a car, you know.
Son of a bitch.
And God. I'm in the back and I'm waiting to go up. They told me that the priest would tell me. So I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, don't cry, don't cry, don't cry, don't cry.
Yeah, yeah. Because everybody's crying.
Right. Ave Maria comes on. Okay.
Ave Maria.
You know,
yeah,
I'm Niagara Falls at that point. And then the priest goes, Eric.
Come on, man.
I swear to you. And I was
this
like,
guy hosted the haha, too?
Yeah, yeah. I was like, this is ridiculous. Okay, so I go up, I read the eulogy, and then it was my time to just talk about him. And then I just remember he was a bad kid, you know? He was a bad kid. So I just started talking about him, and I was like, I notice a lot of his girlfriends are here. They're probably, you know. And then the funny thing
that's
that happened.
That's a risky move, by the way.
The funny thing that happened is, you know, everyone started to laugh at this funeral about this kid. And I was like, if I could kill at a funeral.
So you're like,
I'm killing at this funeral.
Yo, so best line of the podcast history so far.
If I'm killing at a funeral.
You know what's funny about
so this? So you're like Will Ferrell's character in Wedding Crashers.
Dude, it was
but
like,
he just like no, discovers
but
it, like, it.
But I have a way. You know, I learned something about myself at that point is, I don't know if you guys have watched me, Duke. I don't know if you watch me or not, because a lot of comics don't really
watch me.
Dude,
you're one of the fucking stars of comedy right
But one
now.
Of the things I can do is, like, I know I can say literally anything on stage. Like, more so than most people. Like, I've gotten away with – and it's because of my demeanor, the clowniness
of
my face. I'm like – okay, so –
like, most of 90% of it.
But it's like – so I just knew. I was like, wow, I'm getting these people to laugh at this thing. But, you know, the funny thing about this is I've told comics this story before. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the first thing a comic will say is, who books that?
Who books that funeral? Who books that funeral?
Who books that? Who's the booker on it? You know? Just comics are full of shit.
Well, you know, that's an incredible thing, though, man, because it's like I mean, as you're doing it, you're like, wow, not only am I making – there had to be a piece of you that – and the reason we all do it, that you're like, I'm making these people feel good.
Yeah.
But the circumstances different than every night of the week for us where you're like, these people
– But it taught me a lesson of, like, you don't know what's going on in the crowd. To bring it full circle, like what Brad said, when you went to Montreal and you were actually sitting in the crowd, you were like, oh, this is how it is.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. We don't know what's going on with people.
Right. Yeah, because guess what? You could start making fun of the boyfriends. Everybody could have been like, dude, that's
soon. That's why I'm not a believer of, like, being, like, too preachy on stage about politics and religion and everything
people
like that.
People won't want that.
Not the whole time. Like, right, I find a way of, like, you know, it's like, I find a way, like, I'm going to kill, and then I'll dabble in some things. And what can they say to me? They can't say they're not having a good time.
Because they already like you.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They already. They may not like that part, and I'm okay with that. You know, I'm really okay with that. So I'm just like, you know, we are in the entertainment business, and I think a lot of people take it way too serious, and it's like, you know, we have this whole, and then there's like this anti-entertainment feeling in Los Angeles of like, you know, UCB and all this.
Like the alternative scene?
All this alternative shit. Yeah, yeah, it's like, well, we don't want to be too entertaining. This is the feeling I get from it, you know? It's like, it's a bunch of the emperor has no clothes, you know?
It's like, oh, yeah, isn't that our job?
People sitting around jerking each other off like, this is brilliant, isn't it?
You're talking about it.
Isn't this brilliant, Adam?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, it's not brilliant. Sometimes it fucking sucks.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, in the same way that when you go to like the Laugh Factory or Comedy Store, you see a few comics that you're like, oh, I didn't really think that was funny. But it's this, and then when you see somebody that's really, really funny, it doesn't mean that what is that person doing wrong? Yeah. I don't get it. I mean, the first alternative shows I ever did, it was at the Allen Theater, the Steve Allen Theater.
Yeah.
And it was just,
how did they receive you? Because I mean, I guess by
they were the, well, they didn't receive me well because
I was
going to
say by the society's standards of alt show versus club show, like you wouldn't fit to an alt show, right? Because
well, I mean,
your big energy
at the time, I didn't know how to maneuver through that. Because now, dude, I did that Fish Taco show the other day, and I was like, you know,
Fish Taco show,
whatever you know,
Pink
that,
Taco J show.
No. That. See, you don't even know about all the alternative shit. Look at you.
I don't, dude.
They're just showing Silver Lake at this outside, at this taco place.
It's dope?
Yeah, it's great. But it's a lot of Silver Lake kids who think they're smarter than everybody. And,
I've done shows like that, and I'll do any show. I never, by the way, ask, like, what was an alt show? And if I hear Silver Lake, to me, a show is a show. You just bring it wherever.
Well, I mean, not necessarily, because, you know, if you're doing a corporate gig and it's in front of old people, you have to adjust.
Adjust. I'm not saying I don't know how to adjust. I'm just saying, like, I don't think, like, I don't go, oh, am I going to not be able to do that? I just go, I just have to adjust.
Yeah. Well, I go. But now another thing that helps, too, is like I have a little bit of celebrity. So it's like it doesn't even matter. You know?
And they want to see you regardless.
Yeah, which is so contrary.
By the way,
to what they're saying. You know what I mean?
Tell me about that real quick. Because when you've got Workaholics and I mean, now it's become one of the most popular shows in the fucking country.
Well, it's more like a cult hit. I wouldn't say it's a popular show. I mean, we have, you know, we don't get more numbers than, you know, even a shitty NBC show.
Well, it took you to headlining all over the country.
But see, I was doing that anyway. This has just changed my cachet at the places.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I was already headlining, you know.
Did you see a switch in, like, Manaus? Like, the jump from people going, oh, I know who that is.
Right, exactly. It's like, I've even felt it in L.A. It's like, I do the Comedy Store a lot. I do the Laugh Factory a lot. When I get introduced to, like, from Workaholics, and they go, oh! Yeah. It's that guy.
Is that awesome?
It's really awesome.
Yeah,
because
those fans are die hard.
Right. That's
Workaholics fans are just like, they're not just like, oh, I catch it every now and then. It's like, no, they watch every episode. They dissect
it. Not only do they watch every episode, they watch it over and over and over again. And I think that
it's a Family Guy type show where you can
I keep saying that we should do like the first season. They should do like a Rocky Picture Show type of thing.
Yo, of course.
The first season. They just
in a live theater? Yeah.
In a live theater.
Oh, it'd be amazing.
Yeah, that would be so amazing.
Well, they kind of do that with those Christmas shows are doing when they play the episodes.
Workaholics Half Christmas. I just did that show about a month ago at the Ontario Improv, and they're like, hey, we're doing Workaholics Half Christmas. It's a Monday night at Ontario Improv, and they're just like showing the episode of Half Christmas.
You should see how they act when somebody from the show shows up.
It's Well, by the way, I've done it twice. First time I did it, the guy goes, you guys might remember me from Workaholics because I did an episode.
Yeah.
They announce Adam, and he gives a giant pause before he says my last name.
Think
people went ape shit, dude. And I'm standing back there being like, whoop. Nope, Phil, that's too long of a pause. It's like Adam, who goes, like the cheers as if it was him. And then they say my name, and the drop just fucking crushed me, dude. And I walk up there. I started to talk about that for a few minutes.
You had to.
Yeah. But Adam, I went with Adam to Phoenix. He did two shows of Stand Up Live, no press, sold them out on a Monday.
Yeah.
And so that following, and guess what? And those people were, I mean, bananas for
it. Yeah, they're huge, you know. It's like, that's huge. The other ones, they don't do stand up. If they did, it would be ridiculous. If they could just do a tour, and it would be bananas.
I should still do that anyway.
Yeah. You know?
I keep saying that, but they don't want it. It's their show.
Yeah.
Sure. You know, let's just be real. It's their show, you know,
and
nobody's, and they're not. Look, if I'm on a show, I'm gonna shine regardless.
Yep.
You know, I just have this feeling like there's nobody that can get on stage and then they're gonna outshine me. Like it's not gonna be like where people going where when I finish, they're going to be like, well, that was a drop off.
Right.
No, they're going to be like, oh, that was fun too. Yeah, I don't care who it is. Chappelle, Seinfeld, I don't give a fuck who it is. When if I'm on stage, they're going to enjoy themselves equally or differently, but it's not going to be like, well, that guy shouldn't be on the show with this guy.
See, I love that you have that attitude because I've been in the Laugh Factory when D'Elia is crushing and when Dane Cook pops in, when Chappelle walks in, and you see all their comics go, well, fuck, I'm not going up now.
I had to go up after Louis yesterday.
With the what?
After Louis?
Yeah.
Where? Where at?
At Schuyler's stuff?
Yeah, at Schuyler's room.
How was that?
It doesn't matter. I mean, he was like just throwing out a bit he was working on. You know what
just
I mean?
One bit?
Yeah. Well, it was 20 minutes long of like he was just he was like, can I work on? Yeah, can I go up for five?
He's
so five's the new 20.
Yeah. He's trying to find something.
There's no way
he's trying to find something. And in like 30 minutes, I'm sure in like a week it's going to be this solid bit that he'll have a new hour about. You know?
Sure.
But I mean, you have these kind of things. Like the other day,
people loved it. Yeah.
Yeah. The other day, they just love seeing him too. The other day, I was at the Laugh Factory, and it was like it was a 10 o'clock show, and Tim Allen went up, Rob Schneider went up. And then Dane Cook closed the show with a lot of time. And then they just rolled the show over. And I went up right after him, you know? And I was like, well, nope, guys, the show's not over, everybody. And I still, like, you know, the people stayed, you know what I mean? And it's like, I just feel like I just feel like that now where I'm just like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, you do a bit, seriously, one of the funniest things I've ever heard on stage. Your bit on...
Tell me more about me.
Yes, Eric Griffin.
Yeah, we jerk people off on the show a lot. We should change the name
Eric
of the show.
Eric Griffin from Workaholics. Sexy man. Your bit on... Paranormal Activity.
Oh.
Holy shit.
See, I did that on my half-hour special, so I'm never going to do it again.
Well, yeah. If you're tired. I'm just telling people...
But I appreciate that. It's like...
That you went up with that bit and just dissected that. And some might... do like a joke about a movie or maybe like two or three jokes, but that's like a 10-minute bit.
Well,
on that entire
thing. So
it's
online, people can find it.
Well, it's
on your special.
It's on my special, yeah.
Go get that. Comicsandroid.com or iTunes.
It's also on my album too, on my Psy-1 Dummy Technical File, Volume 1 album.
Where's that? ericgriffin.com.
You can find that on ericgriffin.com with a K or iTunes. They still got me on the iTunes. They gave me some love on iTunes.
There you go.
If you go to iTunes Comedy, you can see my little banner comes up.
I think I have a clip from Technical File right here.
Pull it up.
Oh, this is Fat Jesus. Was that
No, that's not in my album. If you got that, that's just on the Laugh Factory website.
Yeah, pull that up, though.
Which gets so many hits.
Do I love that
shit. They're going to start a network.
What another on place?
Rubbing it in your face. Pisses me off.
And that's how you're going
to
start it?
I was with my mom. Went to church with my mom. Yeah. And that big Jesus was on the cross, you know. And he's just ripped. just pop, pop, pop. He's up there showing off.
He's posing.
Sometimes he hits you with the head tilt.
The looks on your face right now.
Yeah, dude, that's why you gotta see Eric live. Fuck the material, you just gotta see his goofy face.
But you can't have a fat Jesus.
Okay, quick fat.
I know, but that's the name of my album.
Now, who...
takes a whole new term of chubby chaser. That's Quick Fat 4.
Chubby
quick
Chaser.
Fat 4, Chubby Chaser. I'm telling you, man.
It's when Quick Fat joins the track team.
Oh, no, we're never going to win Quick Facts on our team.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah?
You just put a fat black woman at that finish line. I'll get you that damn trophy. Now, I don't want to go all inside the actor's studio on you, but I'm going to.
That's okay, you can.
What was it like getting the role of Montez on Workaholics?
Well, when I read the script, I thought, this is ridiculous.
In a good way or a bad way?
In a both. Both. Because I thought, oh, come on. First thing I thought is, I loved it because of what the guy was saying, like the audition was me talking about fucking my wife for like 8 minutes. You know what I mean? And I was like, oh, this is ridiculous.
Sounds like the opening of Quick Fat 2.
And I thought this is never going to get on air.
Right.
You know what I mean? But I was like, I'll go. I went to it, and then I got the callback. And I'll never forget, like, the callback. A week before, I was at a show with Adam Devine, and I didn't know any. You know, he's just some young kid.
You didn't know it was a show.
Yeah, he's
well,
some
yeah, because it happened out of nowhere, man. They had their sketch group. He was doing stand up, and then so, all
and
of a sudden,
he was like,
boom.
And he was sort of doing stand up too. You know what I mean? He was like a weird guy on stage, and I thought I remember telling him that too. I said, "You got a weird thing going on, kid. You're gonna make something of yourself." You know, that was my whole attitude at the time.
He'll be good one day.
Yeah. So I walk into this callback. Well, first of all, first story, I went to the callback a day early.
Okay.
I went a day early, and then I'm just walking. I can't find anybody. And then Blake on the show, he walks out, and I'm like, well, here's an intern that can help me. You know, I said, excuse me. And he goes, are you here for Montez? And I was like, yeah. He was like, well, that's tomorrow. And I was trying to play it off like, well, you know, I like to come early. And like,
I just always show up to auditions a day early.
I like to scout the room, see where I'm going to be standing.
What do you say?
Then he told me. He always says to me that he went back into the writer's room and says, you know what? I think I just met Montez, you know?
Oh, really?
Whoa. So he, little, so just based on the way you were fucking riffing with him on that?
Just inside. So I remember going. So anyway, I go the next day to the callback. And when I walk in the room, I see Adam. And in my mind, I thought to myself, oh, look at him. He's really trying to get into the business. You know what I mean? Like he's
a producer or something. He's a casting guy.
Yeah. I thought he was like, oh, he's probably like learning. Bring a kid to school. You know,
he's an intern.
Yeah. I really thought that. He hates when I say that, too, by the way. He always like,
But Adam Devine has a baby face. He's
right.
Like,
so I do the thing. And then it was like I had to go like three or four times. I got like a bunch of notes. It's too big. It's too small. It's too big. You know, then they were looking for.
I've gotten those notes about certain parts of my body. Moving on.
God. They were looking for like really black guys, or they were looking for Latino. And then when I went into the room, their initial callback, it was like Jay Phillips, Johnny Sanchez. It was like
everybody.
You know, the dude from Boston Legal, the dude from not Carlos Mencia, the dude from the George Lopez show, the guy that played his best friend.
Oh yeah,
it was like all these people.
Ethnicity.
I don't have any credits, so I'm like,
so it's either what's up, motherfucker, or like
it
that.
It was like there was no way I'm gonna get this. Right?
Yeah,
because all the people. But you know what? And that's why I always tell people never think that. You
of course.
Know? So
no, you got to go in thinking that it's yours to lose, and without being overly confident, but you got to be like, "Yo, I should make them forget that everybody else is here."
In
the immortal words of Barry Katz from the Jay Moore podcast, "You creating a problem."
Yeah,
not bad.
Exactly. That's I don't know. So, I don't know if Barry Katz or just a deaf guy on the street. I don't know what's going on. One or the other.
Deaf agent. I think we just wrote a new movie.
Deaf agent.
Yeah, in the Costco combo pack, you get quick fat and deaf agent.
Deaf agent. He's the coach in.
Quick fat.
Deaf coach.
You get out there and I can hear the people booing and I'm deaf.
I always wonder,
those bricks.
Yeah. Deaf people must all have the same accent, right? Because how would they know? You can't have a Spanish.
First of all, is it an accent?
You can't have a Spanish deaf guy.
Or a Spanish deformity. Deaf guy.
No, wait, but what I'm saying is,
oh, I hear you.
How they're talking is how they would all
no pun
talk
intended.
All around the world.
So, like, if you have a guy in London, he's not like, oh. I'm trying to do like
exactly.
Look how fucking complicated that was.
Fuck me.
Like, you see what I mean?
I think we found a new improv game for Whose Line Is It Anyway when it comes back.
Yeah,
deaf British guy.
Deaf accent. It's deaf accents.
You know?
Give me a deaf Brazilian. give me a deaf German.
It would be all the same, so.
But see, deaf German, it's just you do deaf, but then you yell out. This is deaf German.
But how would
stop it. You're making me really nervous.
But how would they even know? You know what I mean?
Deaf German.
Deaf German. Oh, my God. They're playing at the Troubadour on Friday, by the way.
Yeah, deaf German. They're awesome. But, yeah, you're
also,
right.
They did the soundtrack on Quick Fat.
Yo.
That's never going to get old. Like, when are we going to kill that joke?
Never.
Yo, when are we going to write that script? It's a sentence you should be saying.
Well, you're in with Bullock. Why don't you?
Right? We just had Paul Feig on the podcast.
Yeah.
We could tell
pitch
her, like,
Paul.
Yeah, this is like.
Who could
tell
she play?
Like,
who could
like,
Sandra Bullock play?
Well, no. She would be the. She would save Quick Fat from the ghetto.
Wow.
Wait.
Blindside 2?
Yeah. Blindside 2.
She's the
Quick
mom.
Quick Fat.
She's the mom of Quick Fat.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Oh my God. Oh, see, perfect.
I mean, it's a great idea.
Good for her.
All right. So then stand up takes off from the show, and
well, like I say, stand up was already going on, and then I did the show, and then it's like, And then the first season, it was still like, whatever. People were like, you know. And then, but Workaholics was like the cool show to know. Like, mm-hmm. like a lot.
Do you guys improvise a lot on it?
No, no. Then it would be horrible.
They take so much time to write. I'm just always curious with comedies. Yeah. Like, because I heard that Paul was telling that, Paul Feig, about The Office. He was like, yeah, Steve Carell would play every now and then because he's so fucking brilliant. They yeah. would let him, but those writers were so good. And they take so much time to
yeah.
write.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, improv just takes away from writers. Yeah. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? So no,
you guys get one take we can play around or no?
Oh yeah, they, yeah, yeah. You gotta do that. They have like their alternates. They yeah, have like okay, all. Yeah. They have a booklet of like sure. what's going on.
Yeah.
Like for me, like I'll go to the showrunner Kevin and Kyle, the director, and I'll yeah. say, hey, I have. Can I say this? And they'll be like, all right, let's do it, you know, the way it's written yep. first, and then do that.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes I won't understand the reference they're making, and then I'll just they'll come up to me and go, like there was one reference they made about oh, what movie. You know, the Christopher Guest. What is
Waiting
it?
For
like,
Guffman.
Waiting for Guffman, show. Mighty Wind, yeah, all those
like,
improv.
What, yeah, so like, you know, they had this whole reference they wanted me to make, and I had never seen the movie. I didn't get it, so okay. I just was doing it different. And they said, hey, can you do it? And I go, okay, I get it. And there was like a couple times like that. But then other times, I just say stuff, and they go, all right, let's use that, you know?
Right.
And it ends up, no, I see it ends up on the show. Mm-hmm. I don't even know. You know what I mean? Sometimes I don't know. So
it's awesome.
And yeah, but it's because my it's simple because it's like this thing that I'm doing.
Right.
You know. But sometimes they have things that they do. They just you know they come up with some things. You know.
Who? And now you're getting fourth and fifth seasons. Yeah. Like two seasons picked up after the third season, right?
Yes.
Or like during.
Yeah, we're about
that's
to,
pretty bananas
in
to
in
get picked
week,
up two
I think
more.
Our first table read is in a week.
So awesome.
And we start a fourth season. You know, so we got a fourth and fifth season. So and who knows? And that'll be 66 episodes. So hopefully,
holy crap, you're getting closer to that 100 mark.
Yeah, so hopefully they'll want to do that. Who knows? Hopefully they'll be like, yeah, let's do 100 episodes. But it's really up to the guys. I mean, they're yeah. you know they're really getting big. You know,
getting big, they're moving.
They
want
to move
going.
On to stuff. Yeah, they want to do movies. They want to do like you know whatever. Yeah. Hopefully they'll do a Workaholics movie. But they're like the new Three Stooges. You know, so
that's
it's
great
like
way to put it.
Yeah, they really are.
Yeah, so they want to do. They,
there hasn't been a trio like that.
Yeah, they want to do. Yeah, they the reason why the show works is because it's their tone, it's their voice. You know, and
you got three completely different characters with really sharp points of view.
I think that they are a character. Like if this was like Seinfeld, you know, they would liken themselves to be like George, Elaine, and Seinfeld, but yeah. they're not. They're all Seinfeld. You know,
right?
They're Seinfeld. You get what I'm
yeah,
saying?
Yeah.
Like the other characters are George.
Why didn't they call the show that? They're Seinfeld.
That'd be so funny.
Now you love movies. I know that about you.
Oh yeah, I'm a big
like when you and I did a. Let me think. I'm gonna be the first time we actually hung out together was when we flew on that plane together to was it fucking North Dakota?
Oh,
remember
that fart? That fart. Awful.
How do we end up doing that?
Where this motherfucker does like
yeah,
2 hours.
I knew you're gonna bring that up
in front of me.
Yo, I accidentally ran the light by like 20 minutes.
It was like, what
are
the
you
fuck
serious?
Is this
yeah,
guy
it was
doing?
Awful.
How
was
did
awful.
You do? You're always on time when you're on
always,
the stage, Adam.
Always
Ray.
On time. Felt
he
super
knew what
bad
the hell
about
he was
it.
Doing.
Yo, yeah, I had no idea, man. I can't even tell you how bad I felt about that 4 weeks after because
like,
I fucking looked up to you, respected you, and I walk up and Andrew looks at me and goes, "You taping a fucking HBO special?" You. He was backstage going, "This fat motherfucker's killing us." And
so was it like a college gig or
no,
something?
I mean, it was awesome.
No, it was like a he wanted to do a festival. It was like a theater show.
It was
really.
A kid who's from here who lives out there, and he did
yeah,
like it
gosh,
was a festival.
Yeah.
It was a big theater, and he packed it in. But
yeah,
but we were talking about movies the whole flight there, and that's what's yeah. like, oh shit, Eric fucking loves movies.
Yeah, I do. That's why I talk about. I'm starting to do that more now. Ever since I did that Insidious, it's really an Insidious bit that goes into talking about Paranormal Activity, but.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, I've been like, oh, let me see if I can, like, so, like, I go see movies now, and I think when I watched a movie, I go, what can I talk about this? I could be, like, the voice on the man on the street, you know, at the clubs,
yeah.
and go, hey, go watch this movie. Let me tell you about this movie I saw. You
do,
know?
Do you like the Twilight series?
Yeah, like, I watch it. I love vampire books.
You do?
I read all the vampire books.
Are you into, like, the modern vampire versus the old vampire?
You know what? It doesn't really matter to me because it's, like, there's just a romanticizing of, like, the vampire. It always means something else than what it is. It's like Anne Rice's vampires. It's all about homosexuality. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then,
wait, what? Who's Anne Rice?
Anne Rice.
True Blood?
No. The Vampire Lestat.
Is that in the Goosebump series? The Vampire Lestat.
Listen to Quick Fat here.
You know, I love that nickname, by the way.
But anyway, and then like you know, like the Twilight series. It's like the Twilight series is this like female fantasy. You
mm-hmm.
know?
Oh yeah.
You know, it's about some guy who's 100 years old, so he's very mature, but he looks 17.
Right.
He's intoxicated by your smell. He doesn't want to have sex with you before marriage. He respects your father. He protects you.
Oh, and then he kind of wants to kill you.
And then, by the way, when the sun hits him, he's a fucking diamond.
Right. So, like, that's just a female fantasy. So
right,
like,
right, you know, right.
Which is, like, completely ridiculous that these two hunky guys would chase after one chick. In reality, they'd be running a train on her. You know what I mean? You know, so they would never
turning in the wolf halfway through. Yeah. Just like, why not?
We'd be like, if I was like, you know, Taylor Lautner's friend, I'd be like, dude, there's other chicks. You're like a hunk, dude. What are you doing chasing after this chick?
Yeah.
So it's like that, but that's just like if you know, like I say, it's like a female fan. So that was that book. Then there's
sure.
Like,
then you have like Blade version of vampires, yeah, which is like that's for dudes, martial arts, lots of blood, orgies.
Yeah. So it's like you know, and then True Blood's the same kind of thing. It's very sexual. It's very. But I always know in the vampire world, they're very much like, they're totally, I think the vampires is a way for people to be okay with people that are gay. Like, it's like, you know.
Wow.
They just say like, because, you know, and always in vampires, it's all about like, there's just like really deep connection and relationship between
I never even thought of that.
The maker and whoever. And
sure.
And there's a lot of gay sex and some stuff like that. And they just go, and we're just like, well, they're vampires. It's like those people. You know what I mean?
And then comes the debate. Should vampires be able to get married? You
right.
think so? Yeah, I think so.
I
don't think there's anything wrong with it.
I saw Twilight. Well, I've only seen 15 minutes of the first one because a friend of mine, they were playing the Heat trailer in the fall before it when they thought that he was going to come out.
Here we go. Any chance he can mention this motherfucking movie he
that's made,
in?
Yo, that's I do made $200 million, by the way.
Yeah, man. Have you seen it?
I'm sorry. I have not seen it yet.
Wow, and you love movies and a friend of yours is in one?
Wait.
Wow.
I told you the reason why is like there's so many movies out.
We should have booked Boone Shaka.
There's so many movies out that like
everybody knows who Boone Shaka is. He's a homeless comedian who hangs
it's
outside. Who hangs out outside
the comedy? Shaka Laka, by the way.
But I always call him Boone.
Yes, Boone Shaka Laka. Yeah.
Boone Shaka Laka.
Anyway, he steals from people and then tries to sell them their shit back. All right, so go ahead.
Not jokes, like their actual ideas.
But there's a lot of movies I haven't seen yet that is on my list of things to see, and that's one of them.
Okay.
I'm
actually, because you love movies, I've been like, I was hoping that you would actually have something to talk about.
I should have. It's like she's the same character in every single movie she's in.
Melissa?
Well, first of all, her name is Melissa McCarthy.
Thank
she's
you.
A friend of mine.
I'm just saying, Melissa, she's, listen, that. She's hilarious.
She crushes it. Well, then I'd be really curious to hear because she's
on the show, she's so funny on Mike and Molly. I've been watching it on the planes.
Yeah.
You know, they've been showing them. And I was like, she's
on
really
the planes.
Funny.
I like how you're telling us as if we, you know, those planes, the things
you
in the air that take flight.
So, you know, she's really funny.
She crushes it, though. I mean,
but if you
don't like that one note, that's what.
Well, yeah, because I saw three movies in a row with the same note.
Yeah, but this is different.
Like, it's almost as if she was.
This one has guns.
Yeah, it was almost
and
like.
Me. She, and Adam.
And Quick Fat.
It was almost like she was filming the same movie, like, in the same week.
Wow.
And then, like,
how dare you?
Mixed up the scripts. And
how
like,
dare you? How dare you?
No, but she's really, like I say, she's really, really funny.
She crushes it, dude. What, you know, you'll get to see how great of an actress she is because she brings, you know. There's a scene where she, yo, just.
I get it. You're
great.
In the movie.
Yo, if, hey, guess what, E? If I was terrible and the movie sucked, there's for sure I would not be talking about it at all. I lucked out and got.
That's like the hardest thing, like to just imagine. Like I always thought about even to get back to me. you know what
wow.
I mean?
Good
like,
topic.
Workaholics.
Wow.
Good topic. The guy grows a mustache. We play one clip of his Laugh Factory.
I've had this mustache forever. I was born with a mustache.
Why do you always have a stash? I've seen you clean shaven once.
No, I've never.
That was in my dreams. I know. Let me finish my sentence.
I always thought like, God, what if this sucks? What if this is one of these shows?
Oh, workaholics.
That people are just like, ugh. You know, you want to be, but it just
you had no idea.
Yeah, I had no idea. So we got lucky that it just turned out to be like a really like one of the like I'm saying it's one of those shows that like you would go into a casting office and they would be like, oh, workaholics, and I know they've never seen it.
Oh yeah,
right.
Yeah.
But it's just like it's the in show.
Oh
that,
sure,
like,
totally.
It's such a Hollywood show.
I've been in multiple
UCB
auditions.
Right.
I've been in multiple auditions now where they say we're going for a workaholics type of show.
Sure,
and you're like. Wow, the first season of this.
Well, you know, the guy
like, you guys weren't saying
that. The creator of Arrested Development, you know, he was on Workaholics.
Mitch Hurwitz.
Yeah, he was on.
That's awesome. Hey, he loves you guys.
Yeah, so he wrote a little. That's why he added me on that for on Arrested Development. You know,
yeah,
specifically because he told me I'm a really fan of you on the show, so I got this little, you know.
You guys played like airport attendants.
Yeah, they were
right?
Like airport attendants, and that's just for the Workaholics fans. You know what
sure.
I mean?
By the way, you would be a great TSA agent in an airplane, and just like you know in one scene, like the way Craig Robinson stole the fucking scene in Knocked Up.
Yeah,
I think you would be a great TSA agent.
I'm waiting
in a fucking
for a
airport.
Part like that for sure.
Well, hey. And not to fucking bring it up again.
Heat
but,
two?
No. Quick Fat Five, motherfucker. But you just talked yourself out of it with that little jab. I was going to put you in the fifth one, but you're
like, Heat
you
two, Inferno.
Well, and I hear what you're saying about being cautious about, like, I'm on this show, I don't know if it's going to be good yet. And I wish I had that problem, but when I was filming The Heat with Sandra Bullock and Melissa McCarthy,
here we go.
Two bona fide stars, I knew from the get-go it was going to be a sure killer. And it was. It made how much, Brad? Over how much?
$200 million, Adam Ray.
That's a lot. Of money, you know what? It had you know that's a lot of money. That's money that if I was coaching a girl that was going to be a porn star, I would.
Oh God!
I wish we had a phone line because I would want to call her right now.
Right? Is you like?
I don't even.
Why don't you talk about? Why don't you talk about coaching basketball in your act?
Sometimes I do because it's long. I do it on the road. I don't necessarily do it in L.A.
Why not?
Because it's like a long, it's a long and drawn out.
Have you ever run into any, or did you ever run into any parents that were just like? Insane.
Yeah, all parents are insane when it comes to their kids. You know?
Oh, especially with sports.
Yeah, they always think their kid is Jordan. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
They really do, all of them.
Yeah, you know, I just put their kid in, and then I, you know, when they fuck up, I go, see?
You turn around from the bench and just
see,
point.
That's you right
that's
here.
You made that shit.
This is your fault.
That's your sperm right there.
You want to deal with that? So.
Maybe if you tell them to get a
but that's exactly,
hook shot
I actually,
in the womb.
That's exactly what I talk about. I just talk about the parents and mm-hmm. dealing with that and, you know. I don't know. I'm getting to the point where, you know, oops, sorry. This is like my 10th year, 10th, 11th year now. So mm-hmm. I'm starting to feel like, all right, now what are the things I want to talk about?
In stand-up or regretting stand-up. Regretting
no, no,
your coaching decisions?
Just in stand-up. You know, I just want to like, listen to this guy.
I thought you maybe.
This is all Heat backlash right now.
By the way,
maybe you don't
heat
know.
Backlash is a pretty good name for the sequel.
Yeah, that'd be the part three. But didn't you die in the movie?
We don't know. Paul said on this podcast, Paul Feig, the director of The Heat, he also directed Bridesmaids in The Office.
Oh, here we go.
No, Jesus Christ. No, he goes, well, I mean, I do.
Bridesmaids, not one redeemable female character in that movie.
What?
Not that they need, not that they need to be.
Wow.
No, but this is a thing, though. Not that
somebody
they need
to be. Somebody just talked themselves out of Quick Fat 6 and 7.
No, my point is, like, the main character in Bridesmaids.
I hope you die in a Final Destination movie.
She... First of all, she ruined her friend's wedding.
Right.
Okay, ruined the, you know, she was a dick to that cop. Like, she didn't deserve to win in the end. You know?
So you're sitting there rooting against the main characters.
Yeah, I was like, in that,
what you're
the
saying.
Way they,
you gotta like, yeah. I
yeah,
mean,
the
you,
way they did it, she was really unlikable, and I didn't get why she won in the end. But, look, that's just a male thing, because it's like, there's plenty of times in movies where the male character's an asshole, or like,
yeah,
you know,
like,
he doesn't deserve anything, so why can't females be the same way?
Yeah,
so,
like in that Never Say Never movie with Justin Bieber.
Looking at it like that, that was actually a good movie.
I didn't see it, so that's
it was very interesting. It was very interesting to see his rise. But anyway... You have to, like, you know, you can't just criticize shit, you know?
You gotta be like, duh. I love how, like, the Heat and Bridesmaids, two of the biggest comedies in the last 5 years, you're like, duh, maybe not so much, but the Bieber movie, you're like, Justin
no,
Bieber.
No, that was a good movie. Well, I haven't seen it yet, so I can't comment
you haven't seen
on
Bieber's
how horrible
movie?
It was.
I saw it. I saw it in Irvine. I was going down to do a show in Irvine, and I went way early, and I went and saw the movie. And I actually was – I walked out being like – first of all, it was me and like a bunch of like 12-year-old girls. And I was slouching, had my hat and
yeah,
hoodie
yeah,
pulled
yeah.
over, which probably didn't make me look
what I'm saying,
suspicious.
Though, is, wasn't right. it – it's still very fascinating to see.
Oh, unbelievably. I walked yeah. out of there being like, I have so much respect for this
now,
kid
now,
because
here's the
you
thing.
Show him doing every morning radio show.
Now, this is my point. As now you can't tell a kid from 12 years old to 18, you're great, you're great, you're great, you're great. At a certain point, he's going to be like, God, I guess I'm great. And now this is what you get, a fucking –
yeah.
19-year-old with $100 million and no parental supervision.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Spitting on fans.
Who? You, how do you think he's going to be? You know what I mean?
I know, dude. It's and
spitting
it's a
on
bummer.
Fans and going to see a midget do stand-up at the Laugh Factory, and then when he's done with his set, calling him up to sit on his lap like a puppet.
When did that happen?
Oh, that happened.
When?
About a year ago. That's where that's where this picture is from.
Dean.
Well, yeah. I saw him at the Laugh Factory.
He loves the Laugh Factory.
The other, I was there the night he like hit a paparazzi.
Eric, we were both there. Wait, you walked in. I was happening.
No, I was on stage.
You went up after me. Remember that
yeah,
shit?
Yeah, I was on stage.
All right, let's tell a story. So Bieber's up in the top area, and he's got all these bodyguards. And I walk up there, first of all, just to kind of, I didn't even know he was over there. And the guy goes, excuse me, man, well, what you doing up here? I was like, oh, I'm a comedian. I'm going up next. I can always be up here. I don't know what you guys are doing up here. And then he goes, we got JB over here. I was like, I don't know those.
He's
initials.
Like, JB Smooth? Yeah, awesome. That's great. Let's talk. Let's hang out. We're both comics.
Jackie Brown.
Is John Barry here?
John Barry.
from ESPN.
Wow. I mean, that's the best one. All right. You win.
There you go.
It's your episode.
Yeah, yeah.
But so then I go downstairs, and as soon as I get up there, and Tehran had brought up the Heat, starting Sandra Bullock movement. So I get up on stage, and I go, and the
Such
kid goes.
It's a sixth reference. Like,
no,
can we can do a drinking game with this shit?
Yeah.
We should. Well, hey.
Every time he mentions the Heat.
Yeah, the official about last
you know
night
in
drinking
quick
game.
Fat, in Quick Fat.
Oh, God.
No, in Quick Fat, we'll do references to the Heat. And that's how you. All right. So,
I'm proud of you. I'm going to watch
thanks,
it. I did not
you.
Watch it because.
I know you didn't, man.
It's just.
I know.
I told you. They did a horrible job bringing the movie out when they did. It made that much money, but you still would be like, you know, there's still people that are like, okay, what movie are you talking about? Because there's so many movies out.
Yeah. Well, it's the summer.
I think they should have put it out.
April, when they were supposed to come out?
Yeah, they should have put it out in like a time when like not all of these like big, huge blockbuster movies are coming out.
Yeah, but there's a comedy. There's not too many comedies.
I know, but it doesn't matter because it's like it's already out of your mind. You know, like, it's gone already. You know? It sucks. I don't like that.
Because they had to get ready for Iron Man 5 or whatever.
Right, right. It's like, oh, The Heat. Oh, okay, cool. And then you're like, you watch, and you're like, oh, what's this movie? It's like, like none of these movies have like that kind of staying power that they need to like be.
Sure.
You know?
Now it's like you win a movie is number one for 2 weeks max. Unless it's like Despicable Me movies.
Also, most of these movies are like horrible and like regurgitating of like the same shit.
Well, you know, and if they're going to do that, by the way, why can't we remake shit like Flight of the Navigator or I've brought it up before, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Neverending Story.
Yeah, but they made like
Don't touch Neverending Story.
They made like eight of those, you know?
Wait, eight Honey, I Shrunk the Kids?
Yeah. Honey.
No, it was Honey, I Blew Up, Honey, I Shrunk the Baby.
Yeah, it's like too much.
Honey, I Shrunk my prostate. I'm dying. I have prostate cancer. It's a long title. But yeah, no, you're right. But so here's what happened. So I'm up. So
yeah, go after the
Bieber story. I get up on stage and then he goes, good luck with that. Like coming from it was Def Coach up in the fucking, up in the top. I hear, good luck with that. And I go, I'm sorry, what, man? And I knew he was up there, so I didn't want to draw attention. But I go, what'd you say? And they didn't say anything. So I was like, oh, sometimes fucking, you know, shit gets you up, whatever. All I didn't want to do was talk to him, but I didn't want to draw attention. Do the set, whatever. And then, you know, he walks down and he walks through the.
Let me just say that he's lucky I didn't get to go on. Okay, because I was ready to talk about the whole him, his entourage of black dudes, you know. Like, I still talk about it.
What would you have said,
I still talk about it now.
I pushed out because my nieces love him.
Oh,
I felt like
no,
I had a responsibility.
There was one guy there I asked to do. I said, what do you do? Like, why are you even here?
Part of the guy who confronted me.
You know, I was like, what the? No, see, bodyguards are one thing. Like, your entourage should be serviceable, okay?
They were sitting next to him, just like, spilling food and shit.
Just like
they should have jobs.
If I have entourage, I'm going to have, like, a notary with me. A web guy, a ShamWow guy,
just to like wipe shit
maybe
up.
A, you know, just that ShamWow makes sense
guy.
To me. You go,
right.
Oh, what is he here? Oh, that's a ShamWow guy. This is my notary.
Yeah, we know he has friends. You don't need friends just to hang out.
These
you're gonna have like the Swiss Army knife of friends, like just depending on the situation.
Yeah.
Eric, he holds my toothpicks.
And, but, over they, here. But I said to the guy, I was like,
he gives me chunky boogaloos.
I said to the guy, you're not even a fan. I said to the dude, I was like, I have the acoustic album. Do you have the? I was like, you're not. He goes, yeah. He goes, man, I don't even got the acoustic album. That's what he said.
You're
I was like,
Eric Bieber notes.
I was like, this dude, I was like, you shouldn't be here. Why? Because if it were me, I would be pop quizzing these motherfuckers.
Wow. All right. Well, guess what?
Just
pop quiz you right now. Where was Justin Bieber born?
Okay. He was born in Canada, but I'm talking about.
Lucky guess.
If you know the songs, like, does the guy even know his music? Does he even like his music?
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I think if you're going to hang out with this dude, if you're not hanging out with him because, like, what do you have in common with him?
Sure.
You know what I mean?
What is Baby, Baby,
well,
Baby
he
about?
Well, he has money, and they want money.
Of course.
And
exactly.
And they have that in common.
This is exactly what I'm
Why
saying,
Why do you think
though?
I'm hanging out with Brad, man?
Because you like short girls? I don't know.
I like short girls.
No, but this guy, I was in fucking Santa Monica, and then here he is with, like, a normal-sized, good-looking chick.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Don't say that with a question mark.
And I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
Oh, yeah. Twilight Zone.
I love that. I love that reaction.
With a cute dog and shit. You just
Okay, yeah, you saw
just
that
stop
girl
and say hello.
You can't help but hate a little bit. You know what I mean?
For sure. This is one of my ex girlfriends I fucking remember this. This girl and I think I know why she was dating me because we show up to go to the Santa Monica Promenade. This girl had.
Were you going to see the Heat?
Yeah. This girl has take a shot. This girl has her dachshund in a baby carriage. And then she's like, all right, we're going to go on a date. I'm like, wait a minute. Am I just...
What if she took the dog out and goes, get in, Brad?
I kind of want it. Like, like, hey, I got short legs. Dachshund's got short legs. Why does the dachshund get the fucking carriage?
Does that make you feel like you're just like a little stopover? Or something? You know what I mean?
Yes, it did.
You know, like you just feel like, you know, I mean, that must be like, that's fucked up.
I felt she was like and
she's
and,
telling her friends, I'm in a little dwarf phase. Right now.
I'm in a dwarf phase.
I'm in a phase.
Yo, have you been phases for girls?
Oh, absolutely. I'm like.
Little fetishes, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Well, the weirdest that, show, like, a woman stood up, he goes, who wants to fuck a dwarf? Yeah. It was in a joke. He didn't just stop his set and say, woman stood up in the back and was just like, I do. He was like, what? Yeah.
So they're out in Denver. No, but I kind of got like that good luck Chuck syndrome where after women date me, they then get married. So like I'm like their wild thing that they just get out like, I gotta fuck this midget out of my system, and then I go back to find some normal guy with a normal job and all that. That's happened a bunch of times.
Well, by the way, if you're playing at home,
he's definitely on a lot of people's bucket list.
Yeah, oh yeah,
or I should say, fuck it list.
Oh, yeah.
And he did. Take a shot.
He take a shot. And by the way, if you're playing at home, good luck, Chuck. Take three shots.
Oh, God, because you'll want to kill yourself.
I can't take a shot at Eric Griffin because I don't know what the fuck he is.
Yeah. Well, or what movies he's not been in.
And what movie have I not been in, Adam?
The Heat.
Our fans getting fucked up right now. Stop missing the Heat.
Wait, now, Eric, what type of movies, like, we know our buddy Chris D'Elia wants to be an action star. Like, what do you...
Which is hilarious.
Is it, right?
Yeah. I just want to be... I don't know, like, if I had to think of, like, a recent role... Like, I just want to be, like, I want to be the funniest guy
In the movie.
In a funny movie.
Yeah, dude.
Like, you know, I just want to be, like, a memorable, like, it's like Galifianakis did that in Hangover. Like, I totally want to be, like, a guy like that.
Supporting.
Like, yeah, like, you'd be supporting and just, like, boom, there you are.
Oh, you'd be great, dude.
You know? But I have other ideas of, like, you know, where I could do a couple of Rob Schneider, like, movies where you go, well, like, yeah, he's not a leading man, but he was the star of that movie. You know what I mean?
So you want to remake Deuce Bigelow?
No, I would never want to do that.
I'm going to give you. I want to just hear you because I'm going to name five of my favorite movies of all time. Okay. I want to hear your quick thoughts on them.
Go.
All right, Jurassic Park.
Jurassic Park. I saw 10 times in the theater because, if you remember, it was the first time we'd ever seen a CGI monster like a dinosaur on screen, and it was one of the most unbelievable moments I can ever remember at that age.
Terrifying.
Just being like, I just was like, no, I was mesmerized. I was like, wow. And now we're like, it's like, whatever.
Yeah, but I saw it in IMAX when it came out. Oh, still holds up.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing.
And I saw it high, and so...
No, but that was amazing. So that was all right. Amazing.
Yeah, there you go. Forrest Gump.
Forrest Gump. I thought that... you know, while I have jokes about it, I just thought Jenny was the worst female character in the history. You know, how are you gonna here's a guy, he loves you to death.
Yeah.
Right? And you're gonna
like peas and carrots. Yeah. By the way, I have AIDS. Here's your son. Goodbye.
Yeah. You're gonna leave him. You don't.
By the way,
back.
That's how I would have pitched Forrest Gump.
Yeah. He's rich. Now he's rich.
The guy's kind of stupid. AIDS. He says they're like peas and carrots. She gets AIDS. Gives him a kid, and then she dies.
But I thought the use of special effects in that movie was outstanding.
Unreal.
Yeah.
Oh, when they like put him into the
splice
old
splice him into footage.
Yeah, all that stuff. That was like the first time they'd done that kind of stuff. That's pretty amazing too.
All right, one more. Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Hey.
The original.
Oh,
well,
the original. Go for that Johnny Depp CGI Oompa Loompa shit.
Can't get into that.
Anytime you bring up, like, you know.
Oompa Loompas.
I feel like he's going to be like, I got to a second call.
He's got some acting story, yeah.
I do for most of this
shit. I couldn't make the callback.
It's like, don't bring up Game of Thrones.
Son of a bitch! Let me tell you about fucking Dinklage, okay? Dinklage.
Here we go. Take a shot every time he hates on this dude.
Well, hey, let's
Dinklage
be honest.
Dinklage has a heroin problem.
He also has a lot of heat out in theaters right now with Sandra Bullock.
Dinklage drop kicks babies in his spare time. That's how he gets his acting talent. That little motherfucker. I went out for that part.
Would you be on? Do you watch shows like that?
Yo, yeah, I'd love
them. You love them.
Oh, I'd love to be.
So, oh, now, sure, support Peter Dinklage. Yeah.
Well, if you'd get on a really good show. Yeah.
Brad, there's no reason you can't be his his dog in a baby carriage. Now, let me ask you something. I've never seen.
I don't know what that means, but it's funny.
Me neither. It means you give him a chunky boogaloo. Now, what? I've never seen Game of Thrones.
Oh, wow. Pitch it to me.
Well, pitch it to me.
Well, it's in my head, like it's like a Dungeons and Dragons fantasy type.
Fair enough. So you got dragons world. Trying to butt fuck princesses.
Well, no, I don't know what Dungeons and Dragons you were playing in your school, but
he was playing a Truth or Dare Dungeons and Dragons but it's Mega really, Mix.
It was played Dungeons and Dragons.
That's just a backdrop.
Princess dressed as a dragon.
That's just a backdrop. It's really like a political thriller. Okay. Like a
political.
Yeah, it's really
a clear and present danger.
Somewhat, but like
Game of Thrones with is like Harrison Ford on coke
with dragons and stuff like that.
Well, that's a great pitch.
It's like a dynasty. You know what I mean? It's like a
Lakers.
Like a family. It's like a family. You know, struggle and against another family, and they're trying to like control power, get power.
Is Scottie Pippen in it?
Good grief!
Wait, all right. So there's a lot of power and greed.
Your listeners must be going, ugh. Here they go again. This is why they never have repeat guests.
Only Mark Saratella comes on there multiple times because he needs the work.
You know what? You know what?
He's just the weirdest guy.
Every
Mark Saratella.
He's so fucking weird. You know what I mean?
Every guest has been on. All right. I'm not going to say it.
I love him.
We love Saratella.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah.
But he's just weird.
We're all weird.
Yeah, but, you know.
How is he weird?
He just sounds weird.
So his voice. All right. That's got to be specific.
His eyes are a little too close together.
I don't know if I've heard that critique yet.
And he wasn't in the heat. Take a shot.
Take a shot. Eric, look at that. He came around, man.
All right. Now it's fun again.
He came around.
Eric, where can people find you on Twitter, buddy?
At Eric Griffin.
Eric with a K, people.
Griffin, GRIFFIN. You know, my website, ericgriffin.com. I got all my stuff on there, you know.
You're touring nonstop.
Well, it's about to stop because, like, I'm going to Atlanta Improv. I don't know when you're going to have this ready, but I'm at the Atlanta.
About a week, yeah.
Okay, then I already have been at the Atlanta Improv.
And wasn't it fun?
Yeah, the Atlanta Improv was great. So then we're starting shooting, and so, you know, I'm excited about that.
All right, buddy.
You're about to start shooting a TV show again. I'm
pretty awesome.
Jealous. It's awesome.
Well, you know, you shouldn't be too jealous because there's always something
of
more.
Course.
It's like when people telling you, like, you're in a movie, you should be, you're like, but you want to be like,
oh, dude, it was cool
you wanna
for
be, you want to be a star
week.
Of a movie.
Yes,
yeah,
dude.
You want to be like, so I'm on that part right now. I'm on a show that's not my show. You know, I'm like barely on the show.
Now, just being around it, though, does it make you want control?
Oh,
like,
I've learned a lot of things. I was like, okay, because like when they're off doing, they're at Comic-Con, they're doing all this stuff. I'm not there, you know? And it's like,
I watch
these shows and like, you know, like when MTV has a show, there'll be like a panel after the season and all the people are talking. If they did that, it would just be them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're never going to be around. You're never going to see us.
Yeah.
On the website for Workaholics, you don't even know what the other characters' names are. It's just them.
Yeah.
It's their show.
Yeah.
So, and I love the guys. I love being on the show. I love the character I play.
Yeah.
But it's not my show.
Right.
Yeah, so you want
your show.
Yeah, so you want your show.
Yeah.
Well, you want your show or you want your shot in a big blockbuster movie. And Eric Griffin, that's why I'm offering you the role.
Here we go.
I'm offering you the role.
Here we go. This joke is coming like a softball.
Hey, well, guess what?
This is like a kickball game, and he just did slowly rollies right now.
I'm offering
baby bounces from the from,
I'm offering you the role.
Second base.
I'm offering you the role of abusive Coach Dominguez in Quick
God.
Six. Welcome back to town, fatty.
His jokes are like, this joke is like in Austin Powers when that bulldozer thing was going to run the guy over. And
no!
He was like, no!
Hey, but how hard did you laugh at that shit? How hard did you laugh at that shit? I'll take that compliment to the bank, Eric Griffin. You can find me on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy. All my videos and dates at AdamRayTV.com will be in.
You couldn't find, like, The Heat?
Well, if you...
Oh, the whole movie's pirated on my website.
Yeah. Oh, okay. There you go.
Just your scenes?
Hey, by the way, tweet Eric Griffin.
Dubbed in other languages.
Hey, tweet... Yo, my buddy sent me that shit, though. It's so funny. He downloaded a thing of it in, like, I don't know, Islamic or fucking...
Oh, that's
really?
Hilarious.
And me just being like, weird shit.
And as a Jew, that's gotta scare the fuck out of you.
Oh yeah, dude, it sounded like a weird blend of Hebrew and Star Wars language. But anyway, I'll be in Arlington Draft House August 23rd and 24th, and Zanies in Chicago September 4th through the 8th. And
all right,
and
I'm pulling up Eric Griffin's calendar right now. You're gonna be at the Tempe Improv September 5th. And that's a Thursday, so that's probably going to be like Thursday through Saturday. So 5th, 6th,
no, it's
7th.
Just one night.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, just one night. Okay. Yeah. Just September 5th. So if you're out there in Tempe, go see Eric Griffin. Funny as hell. You will not regret it.
Oh, yeah.
Go to my website, bradwilliamscomedy.com, upcoming tour dates.
Well, hopefully the four people listening to this podcast will be able to get on a plane and get
hey,
over to
tweet
Tempe.
Tweet Eric Griffin. Fuck you, Eric Griffin.
Fuck you. We
nothing clever or creative.
Night.
Wait, you
nothing
know what?
Clever
you know
or creative. What? Say, tweet Eric Griffin, go see the Heat. Hashtag quick fat.
Hashtag quick fat. No, if you're listening to this podcast, make sure you tweet at me. It has to be hashtag quick fat. So, then I know you're actually listening.
We got a lot of listeners, man.
Yeah. Well, hey, we'll see.
Well,
please. Just a challenge.
Go at Eric Griffin, hashtag quick fat. I am
it's a quick fat see. Challenge. It it's sounds like some Kirstie Alley is sponsoring.
Challenge.
I am going to be at the Des Moines Funny Bone. The Des Moines Funny Bone, August 21st to the 24th. The San Jose Improv, August 29th through September 1st. And Hyenas in Dallas, Texas, September 5th through the 7th.
Yo, do you do that in your act?
Because
if you're drinking at home, Eric Griffin has gone, ugh, seven times on this podcast.
Boy, for good reason.
Yeah, no. You ughed the Heat. You ughed Mark Saratella's name.
I did. Poor Mark. Sorry, Mark.
We love you.
We're going to cut that all out, that whole part.
Post.
Yeah, we'll see.
And then follow me on Twitter.
Just Mark Saratella.
The whole episode is just... The whole episode is us pitching Quick Fat and then us being Mark Saratella and Eric just going, ugh. And that's the end of the episode.
Done. Hope you enjoyed
hashtag
it.
Ugh.
Remember to tweet Eric Griffin, hashtag Quick Fat. For Eric Griffin, Adam Ray, I'm Brad Williams. Please try to remember our names in the morning.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.